Chapter 11. I was utterly exhausted. The events of the last 2 days had broken me physically, and plunged my mind into such confusion that I had been incapable, until now, of bewailing the loss of my comrades, or even of picturing in a concrete manner all that was involved for me by the pillaging of our launch. It was with relief that I welcomed the half-light, then isolation in the almost total darkness that followed, for the dusk was very swift, and we drove all through the night. I racked my brains to discover some sense in the events which I had witnessed. I needed this intellectual exercise to escape from the despair which was haunting me, to prove to myself that I was a man. I mean a man from Earth, a reasoning creature who made it a habit to discover a logical explanation to the apparently miraculous whims of nature, and not a beast hunted down by highly developed monkeys. I went over in my mind all that I had observed, often without being aware of it. A general impression prevailed over all. These monkeys, male and female, gorillas and chimpanzees, were not in any way ridiculous. I have already mentioned that they had never struck me as being animals in disguise, like the tame monkeys that are exhibited in our circuses. On Earth, a hat on the head of a she-monkey was a hilarious sight to some people, to me, a painful one. Not so here. Both head and hat were in keeping, and there was nothing at all unnatural about any of their gestures. The she-monkey sipping a drink through a straw looked like a lady. I also remember having seen one of the hunters take a pipe out of his pocket, fill it methodically, and light it. Well, nothing about this act had offended my instinct, so routine were his movements. I had had to think about it before recognizing it as a paradox. I pondered over this at great length, and for the first time since my capture, I deplored the disappearance of Professor Antel. In his wisdom and knowledge, he would doubtless have been able to find an explanation to these paradoxes. What had become of him? I was certain he was not among the victims that had been shot. Was he among the captives? It was not impossible. I had not seen them all. I dared not hope that he had succeeded in preserving his liberty. With my feeble resources, I tried to piece together an hypothesis which, in fact, did not satisfy me much. Perhaps the inhabitants of this planet, the civilized beings whose towns we had seen, perhaps they had succeeded in training monkeys so as to instill a more or less rational behavior in them. This after patient selection and efforts lasting several generations. After all, on Earth there are chimpanzees who manage to perform astonishing tricks. The very fact that they had a language was perhaps not so outlandish as I had thought. I now remembered a discussion I had had on this subject with a specialist. He had told me there were learned scientists who spent a large part of their time trying to teach primates to talk. They claimed that there was nothing in the conformation of these animals to prevent it. Until then, all their efforts had been in vain, but they were persevering, maintaining that the only obstacle was the fact that monkeys were unwilling to talk. Perhaps one day they had proved willing on the planet Soror. This enabled these hypothetical inhabitants to use them for certain rough work, like this hunt, during which I had been captured. I fastened desperately onto this explanation, recoiling in horror at the thought of another, simpler one. So essential for my safety did it seem that there should exist on this planet properly rational creatures, that's to say, men like myself, to whom I could explain myself. Men. Of what race, then, were the beings whom the monkeys killed and captured? Some sort of backward tribe? If that were the case, how cruel were the masters of this planet to tolerate and perhaps decree such massacres? I was distracted from these thoughts by a figure creeping over towards me. It was Nova. Around me, all the prisoners were lying in groups on the floorboards. After a moment's hesitation, she snuggled up against me, a as on the previous night. Once again, I vainly tried to discern in her eyes the gleam by which this gesture of hers might have been construed as an act of friendliness. She turned her head away, and presently closed her eyes. In spite of this, I felt reassured by her mere presence, and eventually fell asleep beside her, trying not to think of the morrow.